And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 11. The book of 1 Corinthians and chapter number 11. Of course, this is a special time for our church as we honor and remember the Memorial Supper, and we'll usually make sure that we preach a very clear message talking about the same idea, and then after that we'll do the Lord's Supper. But this message is very important because sometimes a lot of people have the idea of taking the Lord's Supper, but they don't know what it means. What did God intend by it? And we always want to have a very biblically defensible position, meaning that whatever we do and how we do it, we need to be able to defend from the Word of God. If you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and look with me, if you wouldn't mind, 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, and we're going to pick it up starting at verse number 20. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse number 20, the Word of God says this: "When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that is mentioned twice in this passage? 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse 24, it says, "In remembrance of me." Again in verse 25 at the last part, it says, "In remembrance of me." And with the Lord's help, we want to clearly explain this idea of the Memorial Supper. Some people call it the Lord's Supper. But Jesus said to do this in remembrance of him. If you wouldn't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you once again for the great privilege it is to gather in your house today. And we thank you for the victories we had this morning with visitors coming in and people who came to know you as Savior. And we're thankful, Lord, for that. Now, as we take this time on a Sunday night to explain the Lord's Supper, I'm asking that it is very clear that we would all come out with a clear idea of what it is for, a clear idea of what each part represents, a clear idea of what you intended to get across. Lord, help us to take this seriously. Help us to be sober-minded when we deal with this subject. Help us with great fear and awe and respect of you to take this as seriously as possible. Lord, I'm asking that you would use this message to help us to examine our own selves, our own hearts, to make sure that we're as thoroughly right with you as possible. And Lord, you give me special unction that can only come from you, special clarity, special illumination from your Holy Spirit that can only come from you. I beg you once again to fill me with your precious Spirit so that you can have your own will and way in these good folks' lives today. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me doing the Lord's Supper, taking the Lord's Supper. Now, to start off with, we have to give context. This book is written to the church of Corinth. The church of Corinth was a very worldly, carnal church. And over and over and over in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul has to correct their behaviors. This is not a book written to a good church. This is a church that is messed up, that is full of pride, and they have destroyed the pictures that Jesus had set up over and over and over again. And the Lord's Supper is no exception. They have marred the Lord's Supper. The church of Corinth was a very well-to-do, affluential church. They had a lot of rich people in the church, but they also had a lot of poor people in the church. And what would happen is they would have fellowships. It wasn't true Lord's Supper, but they would have fellowships. And they said, hey, we're going to do the Lord's Supper tonight. We're going to observe the Lord's Supper tonight. So everyone bring your own food. And what they would do, instead of having a potluck where everyone shared, everyone brought their own little plate of stuff. And you brought what you could. And so the rich people wanted to show how rich they were. And so they had big old turkey legs and mashed potatoes and gravy or whatever they had then. They had a feast. Meanwhile, you had the poor people who showed up. And all they had was a slice of bread. All they had was something small. And what had happened, instead of honoring the Lord, it turned into a big thing where people are saying, look at me, look how great I am, ha, 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 you know, oh, look at this turkey leg, I bet you want, you know. They turned it to a big mess of pride. They turned it to a big thing, destroying the exact thing that God wanted to get across, to try to get across the purpose of the Lord's Supper. Now, the Lord's Supper is what we call one of two ordinances. The word ordinances carry the idea of orders. So the church has two ordinances or two orders that the local church is supposed to observe. Each of them are made to help keep and make the church healthy. The first ordinance is baptism. Baptism is the first ordinance. And the idea of baptism is that you don't get saved when you get baptized. It is a picture of what Christ has already done for you. And I'm not going to go too much into the specifics of the ordinance of baptism, but baptism is supposed to show everyone that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you're identifying with Him that He lived, that He died and was buried, and that He rose again. And that you are accepting what Jesus did for you publicly. Now, what that does for a church is that in order to become a member of a local New Testament church, you have to first accept Jesus as your Savior. Second of all, you have to have a public baptism identifying with Jesus Christ and that local church. Now, what that does is, because of baptism being the gateway to the church, that everyone who becomes a member of that local church has to be saved and baptized. So baptism makes a church pure by only allowing saved people into membership. Now, anyone can visit. We're glad for people to visit. But to become a member, you have to have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you identify with Him through baptism. So that way, only those who are saved become a part of the church. Now, doesn't that make sense? That those who are members are the ones who guide the church where they're supposed to go. And if people who are saved, they can go up to God and they can be led of God's Spirit. Someone who is not saved is not guided by the Spirit, and they're not going to lead the church the direction that God wants them to go. Does that make sense? So baptism is a safety thing. It is to make sure that only saved people are a part, a member of that local body, that local assembly. Now, in addition to that, God has designed the Lord's Supper. Not only baptism is to make the church pure, the Lord's Supper is to keep the church pure. What the Lord's Supper is designed to do is designed for those saved people within that local body to examine their own selves to make sure they're right with God. Now, once again, it's all about the Lord, that we are supposed to be, as a church, following the Lord. And we can only do that if we're right with God. If we're not right with God and we're all about pride, the church can go to any direction, you know, like the church of Corinth ended up being somewhere where it wasn't supposed to. And the Apostle Paul had to correct their behavior because they had went off the deep end. They had went off further than God intended them to go. So baptism is to make a church pure by only allowing saved people part of their membership. The Lord's Supper is to keep the church pure by allowing those saved people to examine themselves and to make sure they're right with God. Now that's the basic summary. Doesn't that make sense? See, it's a wonderful thing. By the way, both of those ordinances are for the local church, to help that local church to be pure, to help that local church to remain pure. That local church can be guided and directed. Now, both of those elements also had something else in common, and we'll cover that in just a second. Both of them are to remember the Lord Jesus Christ and the death that he gave, died for us. Now, notice, if you wouldn't mind, let me give you some more context and then we'll cover the elements. Notice in verse 20 again. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. In fact, he says, this is fellowship. You can have fellowships. There's nothing wrong with it, but you can't say, yeah, I'm remembering the Lord's Supper. I'm eating your chicken and letting someone else, you know, they only have a small little sardine. He says, for in eating, everyone taketh before his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye, notice that, or despise that ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. The Lord's Supper is not made to fill us up. This is not a time where we fill our bellies. If you want to eat, go home and eat. That's why you have houses. That's why you have today's thing. You have restaurants. You can go eat. Hopefully you had good places to eat, whether it was home or somewhere else. Someone else is cooking between services today. But here we're not gathering together for the purpose of filling our bellies. We're coming here to remember what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. And God is trying to put a very strong emphasis that this is a time that is about Jesus. It is not about us. It is all about him. Our attention and thought should be on him. Verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that also which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And now he's going to start explaining what is the Lord's Supper. The very first thing I'd like to show you in this passage here is that it's commemorative. That it is commemorative. That has the idea that it's a remembrance. Now, he said, now I told you before how Jesus, the same night he was betrayed, had took bread. Notice what Jesus did with it, verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. So it says that he took his disciples. This is the first Lord's Supper they had. That they took this bread, he broke it into little pieces and gave it to his disciples. And he says, take, eat, do this in remembrance of me. What are we supposed to remember? We are remembering that Jesus' body was broken for our sins. That Jesus Christ, he was scourged with a cat of nine tails. He was buffeted in the face. He was abused. He was mocked. He was scoffed at. Then they put him on the cross, and his body was broken on our behalf. He died for us. He died as us. And as we take the Lord's Supper, you know what it reminds us of? Our sin had to be paid for. When we take the elements of the bread, we are reminded, Jesus died for me. He paid my price. This is what the death that was owed because of my sin. We're supposed to do this in remembrance of Him. We're supposed to do this remembering what He did for us. It's commemorative. He goes on in verse 25. The same manner He took the cup, and when He had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it," notice this, "in remembrance of me." Once again, as we take the cup, this cup is to not to make us not thirsty. It's not to fill our bellies, but it's to remember that Jesus' blood was shed for you and I. That Jesus' blood had to be shed to pay for our sin. That Jesus had to have bled. That He died for us on our behalf. He died for us. And He died in our place. And when we take the Lord's Supper, this isn't a time just to go through a ceremony. This is a time to reflect what our sins deserve. Our sins required a payment. Our sins required death. And Jesus died. And we are to take the Lord's Supper to remind us of how awful our sins are. And how much of a loving God we have that He was willing to die to pay the price that we owed Him. The first part of the Lord's Supper is that it is commemorative. We are to do this in remembrance of Him. Notice something else here that it shows. The second thing is that it is pictorial. It is pictorial. Notice this, what it shows in verse 26. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death. Here it's pictorial. It shows the Lord's death. Now, it does not show Jesus dying again. Some of our other friends, Catholic friends, Lutheran friends, they actually show Him, Jesus Christ, crucified and broken afresh time and time again. They have two things they have. Our Catholic friends have something called Constantination. I had those words then. And then the Lutherans, Constantination. Each of those have the idea that our Catholic friends actually believe that when they're doing the Lord's Supper, they are actually eating the body of Jesus Christ. And that they are actually drinking the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's such a serious thing for them that they have a special ceremony that if one of their altar boys dropped the bread on the floor, they had a special ceremony because they just dropped Jesus on the ground. And they take it seriously. How seriously do they take it? We were door knocking yesterday and I knocked on a door and talked with a dear Catholic man at the door. And he said, "Hey, when you do the Lord's Supper," he says, "do you actually believe that's the body of Jesus?" I said, "No, sir, it's just a picture." He said, "That's all I wanted to know. I'll never go to your church." They actually believe that. It's a big deal to them. In fact, to them, they actually believe that in order to go to heaven, this is one of the elements you have to do. You have to participate in Mass because there's actually some type of mystical thing that works with it. This is a picture of Jesus' body. It is a picture of Jesus' blood. It is pictorial. This is not Jesus Christ. By the way, we're not cannibals. We're not vampires. We're not eating someone's body. We're not drinking someone's blood. All we're doing is having a symbol, a picture of what Jesus Christ did for us. Our Lutheran friends, they believe that it's a cracker. They believe that it's actual the cup of the vine until you actually put it in your mouth. Then when you put it in your mouth, it becomes the body of Jesus or the blood of Jesus. That's called transubstantiation. I can't say those words today. Forgive me. But that's one of their beliefs. They actually believe it becomes. Now, once again, this is just a picture. This is a cracker. And this is the cup of the vine. That they are not real. They are a picture. And they are to remind us that Jesus was broken for me. That Jesus bled for me. And He died on my behalf. He loved me so much He died for me. All it is a picture. It is not actual flesh. It is not actual blood. They are pictures. Now, again, with our Catholic friends and our Lutheran friends, what they signify is that Jesus Christ has to be shed his blood over and over and over and over to get the job done. Jesus Christ is not on the cross. That's why we, if we do have crosses, they are always empty. There is nobody on it because Jesus is not on the cross. He has already risen from the grave. He has already won victory. He does not have to suffer again and again. It was one point of action, one point of time, and it was finished. And the results are forever. And they no longer have to be paid for. Jesus, when he died, it was once and for all, and it doesn't have to be done ever again. We don't have to have saving power over and over and over. We need it once when you accepted Jesus as your Savior. Now, after that, we have to keep our fellowship right, and that's what the rest of the Lord's Supper is about, to remind us what our sin does. So far, as we talked about the Lord's Supper, we said it's commemorative, that it's to be done in remembrance of Him. The second part of the Lord's Supper is that it is pictorial. These are pictures of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. They are not the actual body and blood, but they are to remind us that His blood, His body, was broken and shed for us. The third element is that it is prophetic. Did you know that? That when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we are actually prophesying. We are actually acknowledging prophecy. Notice again verse 26, "For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death, tell He come." You know, when we celebrate this, we're not just mourning that Jesus died. We are also acknowledging that He rose again. And one day He's coming back for you. And He's coming back for me. And we're honoring this, reminding ourselves, Jesus is coming. And because He's coming, we want to be as right with Him as possible. That His judgment is coming. That we're going to stand before Him and give an account. We're going to stand before Him. This is a prophetic thing that we're acknowledging. We believe Jesus Christ is coming back. And we're going to continue to honor the Lord's Supper as oft as we have it. And we're going to keep on doing it until Jesus comes back for us. We are acknowledging, we're telling the world, we believe Jesus Christ is coming. A fourth element here is that it's symbolic. We said it's commemorative, to be done in the remembrance of Jesus. It is pictorial. It's just a picture of the Lord's death. It's not Him dying afresh. We said it's prophetic. We are to do this until the Lord comes. It's also symbolic. We've already mentioned that it doesn't turn into the actual body and blood of Jesus Christ. But each of these elements are to be symbols, are pictures of Jesus Christ, and they are to reflect His purity. They're to reflect His purity. Remember, there was no sin in Jesus Christ. One of the pictures in the New Testament of sin is called leaven. And for the elements, we used unleavened bread. Unleavened bread means bread that doesn't have yeast in it that makes it rise. When you eat your Wonder Bread, that big fluffy bread, it's because an additive has been put in there called yeast, and it causes that yeast to mix with the sugar and then release air pockets, and you get that big fluffy bread. But there's an additive. That additive is called leaven. That leaven in the Bible is always a picture of sin. It is a picture of impurity. It is a picture of corruption. And Jesus was the pure Son of God. He was not corrupted whatsoever. And so the elements that we use are specifically to show the unleavened bread. Hold your finger here and turn back a couple chapters. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, let me show you. Paul leads up and he's already starting to correct things about the Lord's Supper a little bit beforehand. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, notice if you wouldn't mind verse number 6. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 6, it says, "Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" So just a little bit of impurity makes the whole thing incorrupt. Doesn't that make sense? If you put just a little bit of rat poison inside of your homemade bread, don't you think it would make the whole bread corrupt? You wouldn't want to eat any piece of it. Notice verse 7, Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even as Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us, therefore let us keep the feast, that Lord's Supper, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice or wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Here it is that we're supposed to use unleavened bread because it is a picture of purity. This is why we use the unleavened bread. We don't actually get Wonder Bread. We used crackers. We use crackers that have not any leaven in it because it's a picture of the purity of Christ. The same thing with the fruit of the vine. In every passage that deals with the Lord's Supper, never once is it called wine. That way there's no confusion, no distinction. It is always called the cup of the vine, which really means freshly squeezed grape juice. In order to take grape juice and to turn it to an alcoholic wine, you have to add a secret ingredient called yeast. Once again, you are adding leaven to it to make it an alcoholic beverage. Once again, we use grape juice because it's a picture of the purity of Jesus Christ. It is to show that Jesus Christ is pure. Remember, Jesus had to be the sinless Son of God in order to die for your sins and mine. And all of this elements is to picture Jesus Christ, that His pure body was broken to pay for our sins. His pure blood was shed in order to wash away our sins. That each of these elements are to show the purity, the perfection, to remind us that Jesus died for us. The perfect Lamb of God was slain on our behalf for our sins. And so both of the elements are to show, they are symbolic. They are to be pictures of the purity of Jesus Christ. And it is important to use the correct symbols. That's why we use the specific crackers. This is why we use grape juice. We don't compromise and we don't mess it up because we want to show the pure body and the pure blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us. There's something else about the Lord's Supper, the elements of the Lord's Supper, in that it is also purifying. It is purifying, and this is where I'm going to camp out for a little bit. It is purifying. Notice, if you wouldn't mind, what the Bible says starting in verse number 27. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse 27. It says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." Notice that word unworthily. This word unworthily has the idea of a manner that's not worthy, unclean. Now, we understand that in essence, we're all sinners. But this carries the idea that if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been washed clean. But after that, if there's any unconfessed sin, any sin in your life that you know about that you have not dealt with the Lord, you are actually abusing why Jesus died. Why did Jesus die? He died to give us great fellowship with God. And our sin keeps us away from God. And if we have sin in our life that we haven't dealt with, that we haven't confessed, that we haven't worked with, and you take the Lord's cup with that knowing that you have unconfessed sin, the Bible clearly says, verse 27, "Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink of this cup unworthily," notice this, "shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." We're going to explain that in a second, but that's some pretty straightforward, hard language. That if you take in just a moment of the Lord's Supper with unconfessed sin, sin that you know in your life has not been dealt with, and you haven't confessed it, you haven't got right with God, that you are guilty of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Don't go to sleep now. This is dangerous stuff. I'm saying this as a pastor. Stay with me here. Notice what it says in verse 28. "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." that the Bible says this is a chance, this is our opportunity before we take the Lord's Supper to examine our own self, to make sure that there's no unconfessed sin, to make sure there's nothing hidden, there's nothing that needs to be taken care of before we take the Lord's Supper. Again, imagine in your mind Jesus on the cross. And when Jesus on the cross, I want you to imagine the blood running from his body and running into the ground. And I want you to imagine that you have some sin that you refuse to get right with. You know what that's like? It's like scooping down some of that mud that is made from the dirt and the blood of Jesus and slapping him across the face and said, I know I could get right, but I don't want to. You understand how we're guilty of the blood and body of Jesus? To have an understanding that we could be right, but we're refusing to get right. We're refusing to deal with the sin in our life. We're refusing to confess and get things right. How insulting it is to God. This is why God says, examine yourself. Otherwise, we're guilty of the body and blood of Jesus. Notice how serious God takes this. Verse 29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh, notice this word, damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. This has the idea that if you have unconfessed sin, sin in your life that you refuse to get right with God, that you are insulting God, you're not discerning, you're not aware that God died for you to be right, and you don't have to stay wrong. It doesn't matter what type of sin it is, you can be right with God right now. If you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. We can be right. That's such an insulting thing to stand there in our sins when we can be right. And if we go ahead and take the Lord's Supper regardless of that, that's dangerous ground. The Bible says that we eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. God takes us seriously. How seriously? Verse 30. For this cause, so because of this, because the people have not observed the Lord's Supper correctly, because they haven't gotten right with God, they haven't examined themselves, they went ahead and took the service flippantly, they just kind of said no big deal. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you. God could actually cause spiritual sickness to come on you for taking this wrong. Notice what else he says, and many sleep. That word sleep is a good, kind Bible way saying that God killed them. Again, when we take the Lord's Supper, this is a very serious thing. This is a time for us to examine ourselves. Now, this isn't a time where we're all fearful and trembling and waiting for lightning bolts. What's the point of this? It's for us to get right with Him, that He made a way. But if we're going to sit here and twiddle our thumbs and say, well, just hurry up, let me just... And then you take the Lord's Supper and do it flippantly, you're not taking it seriously. And God can try to get your attention because of this. Or, if nothing else, use you as an example to get everyone else right. This is a serious time here. That if you have that little pet sin that you've been keeping away and trying to hide from God, you need to get it right now. If you have some bitterness in your life, some anger, some unforgiveness to someone, this isn't a time to set it aside and try to sweep it under the rug. This is the time for you to get right. Gentlemen, if you're watching pornography, this is the time to get it right. You don't want to take the Lord's Supper with that type of filth and not be get it right with God. If you have some lies going on that maybe you've even been lying to yourself, and you know you've been lying to friends or to family, and you haven't gotten right, get it right now. If you've been stealing, if you've been cheating on your taxes, I don't know what it is, but you know God's working on you right now. I've been saved and been preaching long enough. I know the Holy Spirit's working. I know He's tugging on your heart and He's exposing what that is now. Now's the time to make sure you're right, because God takes this seriously. For this cause many, notice that word many, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. You know, that's a simple thing, that if we would just get it right with God, God doesn't have to fix it on us. You know, if we went to Him and said, we messed up, God doesn't have to shake us and expose it and say, you messed up. If we would just get up and say, God, I'm sorry, forgive me, this is what I've done wrong. Now, you need to be specific. Don't go to God and say, God, forgive me of all of our sins. You need to be specific with God. You need to tell Him about those magazines you have hidden under your bed. You need to tell Him about the things you've been watching. You need to confess to Him the thoughts you've been thinking. You need to confess to Him specifically the bitterness and the anger you have on such and such a person. Don't be generic with God. Be specific. Take your time. Make sure you're thoroughly right with Him. Verse 32. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. God is trying to fix us to be the example to the rest of the world. That's what the Lord's Supper is to do, is to help us be right so we can be the light of the world, so we can direct the church, so we can be the examples we ought to be. You have a church that's running rampant and has all kinds of sin in the camp, it's because they haven't been doing the Lord's Supper correctly. God is trying to help them to be the example. Verse 33, wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. You know, this has the idea of waiting for one another. When we come up in just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. And we want us to take our time. Don't get impatient. We want people to get thoroughly right. If it takes 30 minutes for someone to get down to the altar and get thoroughly right, praise the Lord. We're not going to be in a hurry. We're not going to have a 30-second invitation. We're going to take our time and we're going to be patient. Because our heart's desire is for every one of us to be right. Man, if someone has some sin that they need to take care of, the greatest thing in the world you can do right now is to get it right with God. You know, we're not going to be listening to you talk to the Lord. We're going to be taking care of our own self. But we want you to take your time and to get it right with God. We're not going to hurry you along. That's why we rearranged our service to give us enough time to make sure. Someone may say, preacher, I don't know what sins I have. You know what? I bet if you guess at them, you'll get them right the first time. Just make sure you're thoroughly right with God. Verse 34, and if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation, and the rest I will set in order when I come. When we take the Lord's Supper here, this is a serious thing. It is a time for us not to reflect on our bellies or how great we are. This is a time for us to remember that we're sinners whom Jesus died for. And the wonderful thing is that we can be right with Him. That if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're washed clean. But now we have to work on our fellowship. We have to work on the time of spending with Him and making sure that there's no sin in between Him and us. This is our time to make sure that we are as right with God as possible. And then as we observe the Lord's Supper, we're once again reminded of how awful our sins are, but how much of a loving God we serve. The Bible once again says, examine ourselves. The elements of the Lord's Supper, it's commemorative. We do this in remembrance of Him. It's pictorial. It's a picture of the Lord's death. It's not Him dying over and over. It's just a picture of His death. It's prophetic. It shows we honor the Lord's Supper knowing that He is coming back. It's symbolic. Each of these elements here are a picture of the purity of Jesus Christ and what He did for us. And that it's purifying, that God wants us to be right. And He put a big, big emphasis. Hey, you can't put a bigger emphasis than this. God will kill you, or God might kill you, if you take this flippantly, if you say it's no big deal. If you take the Lord's Supper and you kind of just say it's no big deal, you are in danger, my friend. I'm not trying to be mean and I'm not trying to be gloom and doom, but I'm saying this is one place where God doesn't mess around. And this is a place for us to get right. In just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. And then after that, I'll give some further instructions. But regardless whether you're a member of this church or not, whether you've been baptized or not, if you're not saved, we would like for you to come and tell us. And we would love to show you from the Bible how you can be saved. But it doesn't matter who you are. This invitation is for every one of us to make sure that there's no sin in between us and the Savior. It doesn't matter how small the sin is or how big the sin is. If God brings it to your mind, if God exposes you it, confess it. Get it right. In fact, you should be honest enough with God to say, God, if there's any hidden sin, expose it. Bring it to my mind. But again, this is healthy for our church because it helps all of us to be as right with God as possible so He can guide and direct this church the way it should go because we're looking up at Him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth shall grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. This is our time to put our eyes upon Him.